In the first reading today, St. Paul tells us that the Lord promises that on a day of salvation, he will help us. And now, he said, is the day of salvation. This is the acceptable time, he says. And then goes on from there to tell us how we are to be. He said, we are to conduct ourselves as ministers of Christ. Then he goes through that whole line of all the different things that he himself has to deal with and is telling the people that this is what they're going to have to deal with. Consequently, he's telling us the same thing. And so we look at our Lenten observance then, and we say what God is asking of us is just even to take on a little bit of that for ourselves. In other words, ask yourself, how am I ever going to be able to present myself as a true minister of Christ when things are really difficult, if I can't present myself as a minister of Christ when things are just slightly uncomfortable? We can look back, for instance, maybe on just Wednesday. It's a day of fasting and of abstinence. We can ask ourselves, how did I handle that? In the midst of my hunger, was I impatient? Was I angry? Was I mean? Was I nasty? Was I biting at people? What was I doing? What was the disposition I even had toward it? In other words, is there a generous disposition that this is something that I want to do for the Lord? Or are we kicking and screaming and dragging our feet and whining and complaining and why do we have to do all these things and blah, blah, blah? Ask yourself then the further question. What would a true minister of the Lord be like? Because St. Paul is telling you that that's who you are. We'd like to be able to look at that and say, no, St. Paul was a minister of Christ. That we understand. Maybe the priests are too, but not me. That's not what St. Paul said. Go back and look at the first reading. He's not just talking about himself. Yes, he's talking about conducting himself in such a way so that his ministry may not be blamed. But then he says, let us present ourselves. He's talking to the people, not just about himself. So that question then of what does a minister of Christ actually look like in practice becomes one that is very critical for us. How do we conduct ourselves as St. Paul is asking us to do? If we look at how St. Paul handled things, we have little insights into that. We know that after they were beaten with rods and thrown into prison, he and Silas were sitting up singing hymns to God at midnight. They weren't whining about the fact that they got beat. You can be guaranteed they were in great pain. But they were singing to God. We hear about when St. Peter was thrown into prison. What did the people do? They prayed. They turned to God and they prayed. In the midst of our struggles, what do we do? Do we turn to God or do we turn to something else? Sometimes we get angry at God. And we don't want anything to do with him. And we ask ourselves, if I'm supposed to be a minister of Christ, is that the right disposition to have? Turning away from God? No, prayer has to be the foundation for everything. And of course, we, with all of our wonderful rationalizations and justifications for everything that we do, are going to be quick to say, but if God didn't allow these things to happen and all the other goofball ideas that we'd come up with, ask yourself, why is God allowing this to happen? It's to show us our weakness. It's to show us our dependence, or at least our need to be dependent. We don't like that idea very well. We want to be strong. We want to be in control. We want to be the ones that are setting pace and making the decisions. God says, no, you just need to be dependent on me. You need to be small. You need to be weak. We bristle at that idea. And so he lets us see how weak we are. He lets us fall flat on our face. Not because he hates us, but because he knows what's coming, and that if we don't learn this lesson now, we're not going to be able to handle it when things are really difficult. So he allows it now. And we also have to remember that as we progress, he will allow things to get more difficult, which of course we tend to get even more angry about. And sometimes even where the temptation is the devil will say, look it, see, you're getting worse. It's not because we're getting worse, it's because we're getting stronger. And so I say that now because if you have maintained for the first 5 days of Lent so far, you're going to notice that the temptations are going to start getting worse. You should just give this up. You can't do this. This is stupid anyway. Why would you be doing this? Really, for 40 days you want to do this? Just give in a little bit. Once isn't going to hurt you. Well, the devil knows if you give in once, you're going to give in twice, and then you'll give in a third time, and pretty soon it's like, oh, well, maybe next Lent we'll try again. The devil is a master at manipulation. He's been doing it since the beginning of time. He is a liar. And so we have to learn how to deal with his lies. We even look in the scriptures today, and in the gospel we see him quoting sacred scripture. So he will take the truth and he'll twist it to be able to make it say something that it's not supposed to be saying. And so he'll do the same thing to us. Maybe isn't scripture, but he'll take pieces of truth and he'll put them in there and he'll twist them around. Again, just to remind us how horrible we are and what losers we are and whatever other lies he wants to tell us. And so we look at how our Lord handled that. He just quoted scripture right back to him. He didn't argue with the devil. He didn't converse with the devil. He just simply told him no. And that's what we have to learn. Now we also see that the angels were sent. So we heard in the gradual and the track, the whole of Psalm 91, that God is going to send his angels to protect you. The real question that we have to ask ourselves is, do we actually believe that? And we all know that the church teaches that we have guardian angels. The Lord teaches that we have guardian angels. How many of us pay any attention to our guardian angels? How many of us pray to our guardian angels? How many of us actually trust our guardian angel to do something for us? And it's not just the guardian angel. God is giving us others. We are going to see as we go along some extraordinary things happening. And the angels are going to be very active. But unless we're accustomed to interacting with them, we're not even going to notice. So your angel is right there with you 24 hours a day, every day. But he isn't going to force himself on you. He's going to wait for you to ask for help. He's obviously doing lots of things to help you. There is a whole spiritual battle going on that most of us are completely unaware of. And your angel is protecting you from all kinds of stuff. But as far as that direct help, he's going to wait for you because he's not going to force himself on you. So God has given you his angel. He has given you your own angel. Each person here has his or her own angel. That angel has been with you from the day that you were conceived and is going to continue to be with you. Your angel loves you and he serves you. Now the question we have to ask is, do I love my angel? Do I even think about my angel? Do I talk to my angel? Do I have any kind of connection with my angel other than what he's doing for me? And the Lord has promised these things, and we've forgotten. So we have the grace of God. That's what St. Paul tells us. It's the day of salvation. It's the acceptable time. The grace of God is there for us. We have the help of the angels. They are there for us as well. So as we begin this time of Lent and going out, spiritually speaking, into this bit of a desert that we make for ourselves, we're not going out there alone. Our Lord gave us the pattern, and that 40 days is patterned, of course, after Moses' 40 days up on top of Mount Sinai, and then after the 40 years of the people of Israel wandering the desert. And so we have 40 days, 46 if you count the Sundays, but the 40 days that we're asked now to go out into the wilderness to do penance. The wilderness is not some place that we should find frightening. And yeah, you could look at it and say, well, remember out in the desert, you know, there were the seraph serpents that bit the people. That was because of their disobedience. The prophets tell us that that time in the wilderness was the honeymoon. That was the honeymoon between God and his chosen people. Because that's where the people of God drew close to the Lord. Now, if that was true of them, you have to remember that our Lord is the bridegroom of your soul. How close are you to him? That's how close he has made himself to us. How close have we made ourselves to him? So we go out into the desert to learn to draw near to him, to learn to trust him, to learn to depend on him, to learn to rely on him, to learn to follow him. That's what this time is about. It's not just simply self-denial, it is that. But what does that self-denial bring about? It brings about a great good. It empties out a bunch of junk that doesn't need to be there so it can be filled in with something that ought to be there. And what ought to be there is the Lord and the love of God. That's what this time is about. And so if you are taking this time seriously and you're giving some stuff up and you're really going to work at things, please make sure above all things that you set aside time for prayer. We cannot do this ourselves. Even if what we're doing is relatively small, we're too weak. You've probably proven that to yourself a few times in the first 5 days. We're too weak to do this by ourselves. We need the grace of God. We need to open our hearts. We need to make ourselves receptive of what he wants to give. So it's not just us white-knuckling it through Lent, counting down the days. Okay, well, gee, if 5 are gone, I guess that means that there's still just 41 to go. I'm almost there. Wrong attitude. It has to be turning to the Lord. It has to be learning to unite ourselves with him and let him walk through the desert with us. That's his desire. So don't go out into the desert by yourself. Go out into the desert with Jesus. What our Lord was doing in the desert was preparing himself for his public ministry. So if we are to be able to show ourselves always in all things as ministers of Christ, that's what this time is about. To prepare ourselves to be able to go out and bring Christ into the world. That's our task. And we bring him into the world by the way that we live and by what we speak. People think always, of course, if you're going to preach the gospel, it's about the words that you use, and to some degree it is. But our moms all told us actions speak louder than words. It's the way we live that is going to bring the gospel out there. It's the example that we give to others that is going to give evidence of what's really in our hearts. So again, ask yourself, what does a minister of Christ look like? In your own circumstances, with your family members, with your friends, with your neighbors, with your work companions, whoever it might be, what will it look like in your circumstances to be a minister of Christ to this individual, or in this circumstance, with these people, whatever it might be? What would that look like? What should it look like? In other words, how should you act? How should you speak? What tone should you use? What words are going to be the best? What's my disposition? How do I handle it when this person comes at me this way or that way? Those are the kinds of things that we can look at and prepare ourselves for. And that's exactly what Jesus is going to give us an opportunity to do. Because you can be guaranteed that if that's what you're looking at, those very people you're thinking about are going to come at you. They're going to poke at you. They know exactly what they want to do. They want you to fall. Because then they can look at it and say, well, see, if you can get angry and you can use language like this and you can do this and that, well, then it's okay for me to do. Why should I become like you if you're just being like me? So the Lord is asking us to become like him so that those people will see that it's the Lord working through us and they want to become like him. That's what this time of Lent is about. It is a transformation. It is a time of conversion, or what the Greeks would call metanoia, a turning around, turning away from the selfishness, turning away from the things of the world, and turning toward the Lord. That's what the desert does. When you're out in the desert, there is nothing. In the middle of the day in the desert, nothing moves. Unless the wind is blowing, then some sand is moving, but otherwise, nothing moves. It is you, and it is God. That's it. And you either depend on God and live, or you depend on yourself and die. Because there isn't any other option. So as our Lord is asking us to go out into the desert, to be with him out in the desert in this time of grace, and it is a time of grace, we need to understand why. It's because of what he wants to happen to our souls. He wants us to draw near to him. He wants us to depend on him. He wants us to grow in holiness. So again, it's not just a perfunctory thing. It's not just a white-knuckling it. God wants this to be a holy time. God wants this to be a time of conversion in our lives, that we will turn away from sin and turn toward Christ, that we will turn away from the things of the world and turn to the Lord. So if the prayer is not number one on your list as of today, please make it that. so that you've got the grace to do whatever else it is that you're trying to do. But it's not just having the grace to do that. It's having the grace to turn to Christ. It's having the grace to learn to be, in all circumstances, a minister of Christ. That's what the acceptable time is about. That's what the day of salvation is about. And that is the day and the time that God has placed us in this holy season.